The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. You can turn to the back a portion of your hymnal on the back panel, in the back portion of your hymnal. We say together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Please be seated. We continue with our hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. A blessed Lent to all of you. And I want to make it very clear to you all this evening that I stand before you as a hypocrite, as one who leads a double life, so to say, as one who acts like a Christian. That's really what the word hypocrite is. It's all it means. One who acts. One who shows forth to everybody that they are a Christian, that they somehow have done great and wonderful things as Christians. There's an outward part of my life that people see, but then there's the inward part that you cannot see. Sometimes these parts are on the same page, they're in agreement, but oftentimes they aren't. In fact, the two different pages of my life that I live are as different as night and day. On the outside, you see a man, a pastor, doing Christian things, wearing Christian garb, talking very Christian-like, and yet on the inside, you don't see and hear how grudgingly it's done. You see a smile on Sunday morning or in Bible class, but you don't know at times the pain that is felt. You may see time, you may see dedication, but you're not always aware of the indignation at times that is felt. You see a teacher, one who talks about the Scriptures, yet you don't know that I am also the reluctant and stubborn student who doesn't want to learn more. You hear good and pious words, but you don't hear the grumbling of my heart. You see the hand that welcomes you and shakes your hand, pats you on the back, maybe gives you a hug, hands that help, and you don't perceive the bitterness brewing deep down. You may see somebody who at times is generous, somebody who's willing to maybe listen, but you don't always realize that I am full of covetous desires. You see a guy up here looking all clerical, looking pastoral with the clerical collar, and yet you cannot fathom the ugliness and the darkness of my sin and my heart. You see what I want you to see. And you do the same thing. That is what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Beware of the hypocrites." He's speaking to me and to you, all of us who lead a double life, those who act all holy and pious, all Christian-like, whether here or outside of here, and yet in our hearts and our minds, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, we have nothing but hatred, death, and destruction in our minds. Jesus says, beware. Beware of this because this is dangerous. And sure, I may not be sounding a trumpet when I give to the needy. I may not be on the street corners praying. I may not totally disfigure my face with all of the ashes tonight, but every time I sin in thought, word, and deed, I'm doing nothing but horrible destruction to myself and to others. Every time I look at myself and say, I'm surely not as bad as these people over here, I certainly don't see how these people can get caught or wrapped up in that kind of sin, that kind of lifestyle, or whatever else it is, Jesus says, beware, because you are being a hypocrite. Beware, he says, don't be fooled. You can fool some of the people, and you can even maybe fool yourself. But the Word of God says very clearly, you can never fool God for who you are. Your Father sees in secret. And what does he see about you in secret? Oh, and he rewards accordingly, says Jesus. Not good news for me or for you. But this is nothing new for us as human beings here, even in the 21st century. We are not alone. The people found in our Old Testament reading from the prophet Joel were doing the same thing. And so the Lord spoke to them a word of warning. He said to them, "Rend your hearts, not your garments." In the Old Testament days, when they would mourn sin or death or whatever else, they would tear or rend their garments out of agony, out of sorrow. God says, "I don't need to see that outward show. Don't act like you even are that way. If you truly want to show who you are, repent. Tear your heart up, your sin-filled heart. Because as Jesus says, out of our own hearts comes nothing but lies, adultery, slander, and misgivings. Enough of the outward show. Tear open your sin-infected heart. Why? Because the Lord wants us to return to Him. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster." Did you hear that? He relents over disaster. He does not want you to be destroyed. He wants no danger for you or for me. He wants our hearts to be cleaned out, and so we say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Only you can do this. Only you can put me to death and resurrect me. Give me your mercy, your love. Give me your forgiveness. All hearts, all people, in this place, outside of this place, in this congregation, the pastor, the elders, the council, the LWML, the men's ministry, the choir, the children, even the unborn child in my wife's womb. All of us, husbands and wives, says Joel, rend your hearts and not your garments. That's why we are here, to return, to repent. That's why Ash Wednesday. That's why Lent. Lent sounds all morbid and pious and down and so forth. The word Lent simply means spring. That's when it happens. But not only this springtime, not only this Lent are we to render our hearts, but every time. And the ashes that will be on our foreheads in a few moments, oh, we can be certainly hypocritical about them too. We go out to the gas station or to the restaurant tonight after church, and we were at Ash Wednesday service. But that's not really the way it is for us, because that little ashy cross reminds us of who we are. Yes, we are sinful, we are unclean. From dust you came, we hear tonight, and to dust you shall return. But that cross is made on your forehead to remind you of something even greater, that you have received the sign of the cross on your forehead and on your heart in your baptism, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. He is the one who truly acted inwardly and outwardly. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He was the one who became the hypocrite, the liar, the slanderer, the adulterer, the one who had false gods. He took on all of your sin, all of my sin. He took it all to the cross, so that on the cross with Jesus, there is your sin and my sin. There is your danger and my danger. There is your destruction and my destruction. There is the curse that you and I deserve. There is your Father who sees in secret, repaying openly for the whole world to see. But it's all on Jesus and not on you. That's why Ash Wednesday, that's why Lent, and ultimately that is why Easter. It's much more than that, though, because tonight we are reminded of the life that we have eternally. You hear the words from Genesis, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. There is a grave waiting for all of us in here tonight. Let's not deny it. Let's accept the reality of that, but let us live in the reality that Christ has walked out of his own grave. And that, yes, even as Adam and Eve in their sin heard, from dust you came, to dust you shall return, we need to go back even further and be reminded of what God did in creating Adam. He took the dust of the ground and formed Adam and breathed into him the breath of life. Wonderful news for us that as we sit in our dusty and ashy graves, on the last day, he will show up to our tomb and he will breathe into our lifeless clay and tell us to arise and to live. You now have the clean heart. You now have the pureness, holiness, righteousness, innocence, and blessedness of God's beloved Son. You are now clean inward and outward. And on that last day, everything will be made whole and perfect. But until then, we take this time to recognize the reality, the danger, and the seriousness of our sin. That's what we look forward to in these 40 days, but also we look forward to the last day of Lent, where our Lord says from the cross, "It is finished. Let the Easter joy begin." the joy which will reach its fulfillment on the last day when he returns in glory. But until that day, we discipline our bodies. We struggle, we strive, we wrestle with the double lives that we live. Until that day, we repent and we receive our greatest treasure, yet once again here tonight, Jesus himself with his body and blood. The body and blood born for you, died for you, risen for you, given for you, becoming one with your body and blood this evening, but also returning for you. Beware of everything else. You have no actor as a Lord here tonight. You have a Savior, your hope, your life of all the living. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. Dear ones in Christ, it was the custom in the early church to prepare for the suffering and death of Christ on Good Friday and for the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord with special worship and acts of repentance and faith. Believers were invited to increase their prayer, to fast, and to increase their private meditation. Today and throughout the Lenten season, we will be reminded of the message of pardon and absolution proclaimed in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The proclamation of law and gospel in the Lord's Day and in special Lenten services is intended to remind us of our need to renew our repentance and grow in our faith and be the merciful people Christ has prepared us to be. I invite you to observe this season of Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, by reading God's holy word, and by giving yourself to others. To begin this journey of repentance, and as a reminder of our mortal nature, let us now humble ourselves before the Lord, our Maker, and our Redeemer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you created us out of the dust of the ground. Let these ashes remind us that we are dust and shall return to dust. Let them also remind us of the cross of Christ, by which we are given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.